little bit cold. Looks like it's gonna rain. Not that
Okay,
I'm
never
rubbing
heard
it
of
in.
similar. Never. How many WordPress experts does it take to record a podcast? And this is episode, actually I don't know what episode this is, but this is the latest episode of the WP Hackercast. Welcome to it. With me today, I have got the Lima brothers, Travis Lima and Andrew Lima. They are amazing, amazing folks, amazing WordPress guys. I've met them at least through WordCamps. So let's get to know who they are. So let's start with Travis. Maybe if you could just give us a quick intro, who you are, what you do, where you come from, and maybe a little bit of your WordPress background.
Hey, John. Thanks for having us on the podcast. So my name is Travis and I work for Paid Memberships Pro as a support engineer and marketer slash designer on their marketing team. And I work remotely for them and love every second of it. So obviously being on that team, I work with WordPress daily and I have done so for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And WordPress has supplemented my income for that long. So yeah, that's my story in a nutshell.
Cool. Then over to you, Andrew. Give us your background.
Yeah. So my name is Andrew. I also work for Paid Memberships Pro. I'm currently a support engineer slash developer for the team. I work closely with Jason, who's the lead developer. And then normally what I do is bug fixes, features, new add-ons, and a little bit for the South African guys, if they are listening, I'm heading up the PayFast integration for PM Pro. So yeah.
Nice. Nice. I'm sure a lot of the local guys will be very happy about that. For the listeners of this podcast, you will know that normally we have a bit of a format. It's a little bit of an interview format, questions, answers. And we actually recorded an episode of that format with Travis and Andrew about 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to hit the record button. So we lost the entire podcast, which was very, very sad. Fortunately for me, the guys were very forgiving. So we decided to try it again, and we decided to scrap the original format because we didn't want it to be forced. And we thought we'd talk about something that we all experienced. Now, During the recording of the original podcast, I discovered, and I didn't actually know this, that my first WordCamp, which was WordCamp Cape Town 2015, was also Travis and Andrew's first WordCamp. So we've sort of almost experienced WordCamp, WordPress post WordCamp, becoming sort of WordPress developers, WordPress experts, if you will, post WordCamp and making that our careers, if you will, in a very similar way. And I thought it might be interesting to delve into that a little bit and to dig into that a little bit. And one of the reasons that I thought it might be interesting is that I always think that when people come to a WordCamp, they have certain expectations. And as lead organizer of WordCamp Cape Town last year, and I'll be leading again this year as my second and last year, it's always interesting to find out what those expectations are. What do people expect when they come to a WordCamp? What are they looking for? What are they wanting to learn? And then how does that affect, how does what they experience at a WordCamp then affect them afterwards? And it's something that I spent some time thinking about it, but it was only when we had this conversation with Travis and Andrew that I realized how similar our experiences were, and I'm sure how similar other people's experiences were. And I thought it was also interesting that there are many people that I know that are getting into WordPress, and when I invite them to a WordCamp, they almost don't think it's for them. I've had people make comments about, you know, but surely it's only for developers. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of delve into the WordCamp experience from the point of view of the three of us who had no WordCamp experience beforehand. We'd come from different backgrounds. Some similar, some different. So I thought it might be useful to dig into that. So I'm going to start with Travis. And the reason that I'm going to start with Travis is that I know that Travis is not as, let's say, developer technical as myself and Andrew are. He comes more from a design background, from a marketing background. So Travis, what I'd like you to do is just first of all, give us a little bit, a very short sort of intro into how you got into WordPress. And then the next part to that question is, what made you decide to go to WordCamp?
Okay, cool. So for myself, probably for the last decade, I have learned how to become a graphic designer through the school of YouTube and Google, and just kind of self, you know, I'm a self-taught graphic designer, self-made, or if you will. And so after working in the construction industry and teaching myself design for probably about 5 years, I decided to take the jump, it was a little bit of I decided and work kind of closing on the construction end that propelled me to take the jump to start my own graphic design business. And so with that, I realized I needed a website. It was part of a way for me to promote myself. And I heard a lot about WordPress, and I wanted to build a website that was using sort of very well-known technology. And one of the biggest reasons for wanting to build a WordPress specific site was that I had this understanding that it was like really easy to do, and it was very popular. So I kind of, that was my initial entry point or experience with WordPress. And I kind of, struggled my way, bought a theme on themeforest.net, and realized pretty soon in there that like WordPress isn't as easy as what, you know, like I thought it was, or the perceived idea that I had. And I think the reason for that was, prior to WordPress, I had experience with like page builders and website builders, similar to Wix.com, but not Wix.com. And so I kind of had this impression that that's what it was going to be about. And although you dump a theme on there, you see almost no content, and then you kind of have to wrangle your way through this theme and try and make it look the way you want it to look. Long story short, I ended up wrangling this theme, got it to look where I wanted it to. And that kind of started a ball rolling of me getting more work, not so much graphic design work, but more web design focused work that came in. Because it literally came across as soon as I tried to market myself as a designer, people actually asked, hey, that's a great website. Who made it for you? I made it. Okay, can you do one for me? And that's sort of like how my initial business transformed from a graphic focus to a WordPress focus specifically. And I worked a lot with Andy. We did a bit of work together. And because Andrew was a little bit more technically inclined, or, you know, he studied a bit more with a developer focused kind of a degree or diploma, he was my go-to guy for making these features that I wanted to that I wanted for a client site happen. And probably the one thing that got me interested into WordCamp was our local meetup. So we initially started going to a Johannesburg meetup. It was very small. And I believe the organizer was a chap by the name of Stefan Grizzle. And I hope I didn't butcher his name now. Stefan is currently in Amsterdam, and someone else has taken over the meetup. But that kind of made WordPress a little bit more official for me. And what I mean by that is, as a few maybe years prior to me launching my website and launching some client sites, I posted things out on social media. And one developer, I actually didn't know he was a developer, but a friend of mine who happens to be a developer working overseas asked what platform I built the website on. And as soon as he heard it was WordPress, he was like, well, that's not a real website now, is it? Because I didn't code it from scratch. So I kind of had this like preconceived idea. I was walking around literally for years, just having this idea that, you know, WordPress is like a fake website builder, if you will. And so I was like, I had that as my only sort of feedback from the outside world, if you will. And I was sitting in my little studio and building these websites, almost feeling shameful that I was, you know, building WordPress websites for clients and actually charging them money for it. And that sort of led me to go to the Johannesburg meetup. And I remember I wasn't actually specifically going for I was sort of going to network a little bit, see if we could get more work out of it. You know, you must understand, I have no idea of the like WordPress community, what it stands for and everything. So I was very much going there for like self, like my own self motives. You know, I wanted to receive work. I wanted to connect with people. I wasn't necessarily going there for community initially. And very soon in, I realized like, okay, this is like the whole WordPress community is awesome. Everyone is so giving of their knowledge and their time, selflessly, really. And it really sparked interest in me. And it was actually Stefan's motivation Stefan's influence that he came up to us and he was like, hey, don't you guys want to go to WordCamp? I'm going. It's in Cape Town, et cetera, et cetera. And then the more I kind of like spoke to it with my brother, the more we kind of like, yeah, maybe we should give it a try and go and have a look there. And I think like once we arrived in Cape Town and we actually got to terms, or we went to the WordCamp, the sort of doors blew off the hinges of to how big WordPress actually is, and that it's not just this little small fake Word website builder as what I thought it was. And I was just blown away by the massive support that we get from the community down there, the different walks of life that everyone, you know, came from. I was blown away by the overseas guys and the speakers that came, and realizing like WordPress is a massive thing. I learned for the first time that Woo was a Cape Town company, and that WooCommerce came from Cape Town. And I thought, I mean, I built some WooCommerce sites along the way, and I just was like super proudly South African to realize that, you know, I'm using the software. It's built by South Africans. It's built right here at home. People are making a living on this, like a good living. And it's like I was just really impressed. And for myself at that moment, I realized like I want to become a part of this community. I want to base my career on this and, you know, just leverage my design knowledge to kind of like help with my WordPress career. I just sort of fell in love with WordPress, and all of these preconceived ideas started like just melting away and stuff. And so that was my initial reaction. That's sort of like my background to my WordPress like career and what solidified it. And I think that's
awesome. Yeah, that's great to hear. I think it's interesting that you mention and we spoke about this the last time we recorded, and I'm probably going to refer back to a few things that we have spoken about, but I remember you saying this the last time about WordPress not being that easy. And I'm going to talk to Andrew about that in a second as well. But I think that, at least in my experience, I think that WordPress is easy if you are already a developer, if you already have some knowledge about how HTML works, how CSS works, and how PHP works. You don't have to be very experienced, but you have to have some basic understanding of those things. And if you come to WordPress like yourself from a purely graphic design point of view, the fact that WordPress is not that easy is not necessarily, I would say, WordPress's fault. It's just that you haven't yet learned the basic HTML, CSS, and PHP. But I do agree that WordPress tends to advertise itself as this easy thing to do. Because, and it's not that it advertises itself, it's that most of the developers who are working with WordPress say, oh, it's so easy to set up a website, because it is easy for them as a developer who understands those core fundamental technologies. I remember when I first got into the concept of WordPress as more of a tool for building websites and web apps versus just my own blog, and I first discovered multi-site, I actually set up a multi-site install, and my idea was to sell websites to clients at a small monthly cost, and it would be a multi-site install. And I had this, I'd written, because I came from a purely sort of PHP background, and I knew the sort of the underlying principles of PHP before I learned WordPress, I wrote this little script that allows you to create a site very similar to the way WordPress.com works now. You know, you log in, you create yourself a user account, you create yourself a site. There was a little script that checked if a .co.za domain name was available and then registered it via the API, blah, 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 blah. And the very first person that I got to sign up was somebody that I went to school with who ran her own little cake baking business. We happened to run into each other and we were chatting. And I thought, well, I'll send it to her as a beta and see how she goes along. And the very first bit of feedback I got from her was, this is so difficult. How do I create this? And how do I do that? And how do I do the other? And I thought, but it's so easy. I couldn't fathom that she was struggling. And it's true what you say, that if you look at things like Wix and some of these other site builders, their onboarding process and their sort of user guide process of guiding users through how things work is a lot better than when you set up your first WordPress site. I mean, for one, you don't have to worry about downloading the code and installing it on a web server and purchasing a domain and those kind of things. And I remember a couple of years ago, I remember Matt talking about the fact that it's still too difficult for the average user to know how things work. And that's one of the reasons why Automattic started WordPress.com, because they want users to find an easier way to get started. And then when they want to go beyond the capabilities of WordPress.com, then they can find somebody who will help them switch and all that kind of thing. So I find it very interesting that you mentioned that. Andrew, I want to switch over to you now. You, and we might need to go a little bit into your background in this question as well, but from what I understand about what Travis just said and what I remember from our conversations, you kind of almost came into WordPress through Travis, is that correct? So he kind of introduced you to WordPress as a developer, or had you already had some experience with WordPress beforehand?
I think I tinkered around with it like very briefly. I think I was just like, at the stage I was studying internet development, because I was like, hey, if I'm going to study programming, I'm interested in the web side of things, because it's a lot more visual. That was one of like the motives for me. So yeah, I think I did tinker around with it, but like very briefly. I was like, yeah, WordPress is okay-ish or whatever. And then at the time, I think Trev might have built his sites already. And then he asked me like, hey, I've got this like client who needs a site kind of thing. You know, what should we use WordPress, whatever. And I was like, you know what, we can build it from scratch, but then you have to make sure it's responsive, you know, and it takes like a lot of work. And then I was like, let's try WordPress, buy a theme. Cause at that time I actually figured out like, oh, you just buy a theme and it's like comes fully responsive for the front end side of things. So I was like, yeah, just use that. And then I think just after that, it was like a snowball effect really, where people were like, oh, this website's amazing. You know, who did your websites? And it was like, Trav did your websites. And then we just like kind of landed in with a bit of agencies, so to speak, like SEO agencies kind of thing. And then they were like, okay, the sites, you know, the site that we built was like really nice. It wasn't like, I wouldn't say it was even a custom site. It was, you know, like, hey, here's the theme. I can still remember it was the Varda theme. And it was like, just load a template, put the content in, maybe shift some things around. And they were like, this is amazing. So yeah, but I think Trav was one of the more influences that got me more into WordPress at the time, because of all the work that was coming in. It was like, okay, we have to shift to WordPress now. As I said, it was a snowball effect. So after the first site, it was like, okay, we're starting to understand WordPress. You know, we can save a lot of time and money building a nice responsive site. Because that was the main issue, I think, for us at the time was, hey, we don't want to struggle to set up like, you know, the responsiveness and that. So it cut out that time of, you know, figuring out like, okay, this CSS, let's, you know, if it's on mobile, do this or whatever. So like that took a lot of strain off us, where we could focus on other areas of the website. So yeah, I think that was the start of it.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to stick with you now for a little bit, Andrew. I'll come back to you in a bit, Travis. So you make this decision to go to WordCamp. Obviously you live in Johannesburg, so there's a case of we've got to now pay for the travel, we've got to pay for accommodation. Was there any worry or concern or stress about spending that kind of money to go to this event when you don't really have any idea of what to expect from it? Because obviously you don't want to go. I mean, for me, WordCamp Cape Town was easy. I live in Cape Town. I literally have to organize a couple of days off work, which at the time for me was very easy because the company that I was working for was basically in the process of spending more time on WordPress and building more sites on WordPress. So it was easy for me to sell, look, we're doing more WordPress stuff. I think it would be good for somebody from the company to go to WordCamp. I want to go to WordCamp. Would you mind giving me 2 days off? And would you mind paying for it? And they said, fine. And that was easy, you know? So for me, it was easy to go. So if I got nothing out of it, I didn't lose anything. But you guys who were self-employed, or at least, you know, working self-employed, working for agencies, whatever the case was. So you had to make a choice to take 2 days off work, to spend money without any guarantee that there would be benefit. So Andrew, I want to start with you. Talk about the thoughts and feelings that you had around that. Or are you just the kind of guy who goes, you know what, let's give it a bash and see what happens?
The first WordCamp, I was a bit hesitant. I remember chatting to Trav, because like you said, it is quite a bit of money, especially when you're coming from out of like the area. I mean, it's air tickets, accommodation, we rented a car. So like it does add up, especially when you're working for yourself, you know, you could be like, okay, I'm going to use that money somewhere else, maybe somewhere where I might feel it's more like worthwhile. And then I think at the end of the day, the decision was like, hey, let's just give it to a shot. You know, I never went to Cape Town before that. So that was also my first time in Cape Town. So we were just like, hey, you know what, let's give it a shot. You know, it is a bit of money, but you know, let's just see, like, let's just do it. And if I knew what like WordCamp was and where it would lead me, I'd pay like double, triple, like I would have no problem. So it was very worthwhile. But at the time, as you said, working for yourself and that, there is like a bit of worry, like, okay, let's say it was, I can't even remember how much it was. Say it was like 5,000 Rand each, more or less. You know, you could put that towards marketing. You could put that towards, you know, an upgrade or towards your internet expenses or whatever. But yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that it was worth it. So definitely whoever wants to come to WordCamp Cape Town or WordCamp Joburg, if you're not in the area, definitely give it a shot. I mean, as you mentioned, the WordCamp 2015 was like our first experience, but it was also like the turning point for Trav and myself's WordPress career. At the time I was looking at like, okay, yeah, we're doing WordPress, whatever, but maybe it would be better to do something more advanced, like kind of getting with the framework or something like Laravel or Cake or whatever. So I was at that point, like, should I carry on with WordPress or should I go with like a framework and start like shifting away from WordPress? Because at the time, a lot of the requests were like, we want to start customizing the WordPress sites. It's like, and at the time we were like, yeah, you can't really do that. So we had limitations. And ever since WordCamp 2015, it's like, I know every year I'm coming to WordCamp Cape Town. Like I plan my year around it. And then WordCamp Joburg is a lot easier for us because we stay closer. We're not exactly that close, but we are closer. So it is a lot easier. So whoever's like contemplating on going, definitely go. As you mentioned earlier, some people are like, oh, it might not be for me. And like sometimes a WordCamp is maybe aimed more at developers, like there's more developer talks or workshops, for example, but there will always be something for like an entry user. A lot of like WordCamp Joburg I found was more for the users than developers. It was just, I think, how the market was. But still, I still went, I still enjoyed it. I still took stuff out of there that, you know, I can use on my own, like business, side business or whatever, you know, like SEO pointers and stuff like that. But also, yeah, I mean, WordCamp, like the ticket for WordCamp is a lot cheaper than going to a normal conference as well, which is like a huge plus. Cause I find I always take something out of WordCamp, like no matter the level of like whatever the talks are and that. So yeah, definitely recommend it.
Awesome. So Travis, when Andrew started talking there, when I asked him that question about his concerns for going, you were big time shaking your head there. So let's talk about sort of your perspective on that. I get the feeling that you were super keen and you almost had to try and convince your brother. What was that conversation like?
Yeah, it was. So firstly, personality wise, Andy tends to be a little bit more, not quiet, but he's okay to be by himself and, like, you know, do his own thing. But where me, I love adventure. I love meeting people. I love going out there and, like, experiencing stuff. So when I heard of a chance to go to Cape Town to experience a conference like WordCamp and, you know, like, do all of these things, I was super excited. And I remember kind of, like, easing into it, like, hey, Andy, so this WordCamp thing, do you want to go? And, like, you know, I sort of had to, like, grease the wheels there a little bit with pluses, like, you know, trying to look for, like, some sort of pros that I can highlight to, you know, get him to go. Because as much as I like adventuring and going to experience new things, I like to do it with someone. So I was probably not going to go if Andy didn't go. So I was, in a way, a little bit reliant on him to go. And so I would, like, pitch stuff like, hey, what worst case scenario, it's a bad camp or conference. That's what I would call it back then. It's a bad conference. And then you see Cape Town. You've never been, right? Like, that would be awesome. Go up Table Mountain, it, you know, try to sell it to him. And it seemed to work. And I'm glad it worked for both of our sakes. But yeah, just to add, like, to what Andy was saying about, like, pricing of conferences, I've recently wanted to go on a really prestigious South African design conference. I'm not going to mention the name, but yeah, it's a very, like, highly sought after conference to go to for designers and marketers and branders and all of that. And they've got great international speakers from Dropbox and Google and all these people coming. And I think their price for, like, a 3-day ticket was, I think it was 10,000 or 12,000 Rand for a conference. And when you come, and if you look at, like, what you get compared to a WordCamp, it is remarkably similar. And even at the time when we were purchasing tickets to WordCamp, it wasn't necessary. It didn't cross my mind of this is expensive. But what I didn't realize until later was how valuable or how dirt cheap the tickets are actually for what you get. The value you get out, and this sounds like now I'm trying to, like, sell a WordCamp, like everyone should go. But, like, honestly, whether it's been a talk that I've sat through on mental health or someone that I've met while stuffing my face at the buffet table, you know, it's been invaluable. Even, like, sitting here doing this podcast, if it wasn't for WordCamp, we wouldn't have done this. And who knows where this podcast will lead for you or for me, what people I'll meet out of it. You know, it's just opened up so many doors for people, and not only for myself or Andrew or you, but for everyone, really. It's really remarkable. And I mean, yeah, like Andy says, we plan it every year now. And I had an opportunity to go overseas for something. And then I ended up having to, well, our boss came from America to meet with us. So that was double motivation. But we ended up heading down to Cape Town instead of going on a overseas trip. And yeah, so we plan around it. We love going to WordCamps and we love meeting friends there, because seriously, the people we meet that we chat to online, we're friends and we've become friends. And it's so great to actually be a part of a community that we can reach out to and go, I need help with this. Or what do you think of my newly built website? Or, hey, I'm struggling with this function. Is there any other way to do it? And that's, you might not realize how valuable that is to have, because when I chat to someone else who's maybe outside of the WordPress community in a developer or IT sector, they often, like, are struggling with something that can very easily be answered by someone else. And I'm comparing it to the resources I have in the community, and they sort of isolated, and that kind of isolation, it just kind of stumps your growth in terms of, or opportunities in so many ways. And even, yeah. So even if we look at our lives and stuff, it's really, a lot of opportunities come from it, and good positive things have come from WordCamp. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So based on that, a question just came to mind, and it's something that I've been thinking about for some time now. And I want to stick with you on this one, Travis, and then I'm going to come back to you in a second, Andrew. But the concern that I have, the worry that I have as lead organizer for WordCamp Cape Town again this year, and I have this concern because one of my ideas for this year is to strip WordCamp back down to almost a bare bone experience. Because what I noticed last year was that almost because of WordCamp's age and because of the venue that we've used for the last 3 years, the River Club in Cape Town, which is a lovely venue and they do great food and it's a nice place. And it's almost at that level of that design conference you were talking about, where it's almost very professional. And WordCamps should never be about the venue or the food. They should be about WordPress. And what I've almost noticed is that there is an expectation that WordCamp is on a similar level to these other almost professional. And I don't want to say professional, saying that WordCamp is not professional, but you kind of get what I'm sort of world class. And it comes from a comment that I saw. Somebody actually made a comment about a speaker at WordCamp about not being world class. Now, there are pros and cons to that comment. There are benefits from taking that criticism. But I know for a fact, when I went to the first WordCamp in Johannesburg, which was, I think, last year, it was definitely a very different level and a different experience than WordCamp Cape Town. The venue wasn't as big. There wasn't as many extramurals to do. The food was different. It wasn't worse. It just was different. But it was more of what I think the original WordCamps would have been, the original gatherings of WordPress developers. And I don't want to use the term basic, but it was a kind of a very simplistic, let's say, WordCamp. But there's still benefit to be had from that kind of experience. And my concern is that we have almost, in Cape Town, we've almost built up this image of what WordCamp is. And if we try to strip it down to more of a bare bones situation, we might alienate some people. Now, as two guys who have, you experienced Cape Town, and then I know after that you experienced WordCamp Johannesburg. Do you find that that is a problem? Do you think that if you would have gone to Cape Town and experienced the same people and the same talks, but in a venue like WordCamp, the first WordCamp Johannesburg, you would have still benefited the same level of benefit and you would have still been as excited afterwards? Do you think, in other words, do you think the venue and the food and all those extras make the WordCamp, or do you think it was the people and the talks? Travis.
Yeah, I would honestly go for the content. The content and the people that made WordCamp for us. I'm not going to shy away from the fact that having a big shiny venue, amazing food, and like a little driving range just outside, at the foot of Table Mountain doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt for sure. It's beautiful and it's awesome. But I'm reminded now of the WP Hackercast episode with you that you were speaking about something similar of this, WordCamps aren't necessarily meant to be this flashy thing. It can be a couple of people in a garage and, you're having an amazing WordCamp, for example. And so for me, what made an impression the most was not the venue and not the great food and that, but it was the selflessness of the community. You must understand, and I don't know if this is a Johannesburg thing, but I grew up in a family business working with my dad where you do not divulge, business secrets. You don't tell people how to make money, or you don't tell people what marketing techniques you use or what's your secret sauce. And here I was just listening to people offering up advice, solid advice, whether it be business related, developer related, design related, for free. And I think that was the pull that really got me, because You know, I sat in some talks that I had no idea what was going on. It was too over my head. I sat in some talks that was hit home right away. It was really valuable. And the talks are great, but it was that interaction with the people and that community and that genuineness of the WordPress community that really pulled me. So I think that was what made an impact on me. Yeah.
Cool. And I think that's the important thing that we need to, or at least that I need to drive. Anybody who's leading a WordCamp, I, having experienced it from the attendee point of view, and then from the being part of the organizing team point of view, it's very easy to get caught up in the venue and the food, and those things are important. But as you say, they're not as important as that content and the people. And I think that we sometimes get caught up in, you know, do we have t-shirts and do we have enough swag and do we have the nice venue? But if the content is not right, if the people are not enjoying the talks, you can have the most amazing venue in the world, but if the content's not there, you can forget about it. You can have a horrible venue, but if the content is great, then people will walk away with something. So I think that's super important.
It kind of sounds comparable to a website, right? You can have the most beautiful, flashy website, but if your content's crap, excuse the French over there, then, you know, the website doesn't work. The user experience is terrible, right? So it's very comparable in that way, yeah.
That's very interesting. I never thought about it that way. That's very cool. Andrew, I want to swing back to you now. So first of all, do you have any thoughts on what we've just discussed?
I think Trav did nail it on the head. Definitely the content was like, I mean, when we went to WordCamp Cape Town for the first time, it was like, whoa, this venue, like WordPress is legit, you know, like they're going all out on this venue. So like it was good. But then I remember like what was the cool part about like a WordCamp, and it still is like the cool part, is like you get to meet new people in the industry. Like Trav said, they're like super open about stuff. I mean, if someone comes to me and they're like, how would you do this? I'd be like, okay, yeah, you can use this. Here's a code like that's in our plugin, for example. You know, it's open source, go for it. That was really cool. I mean, like, I'll be honest, we were like fangirling a little bit, like with the Woo guys. We're like, whoa, the WooCommerce guys are here. That's so cool. And now it's like we're friends with them. So that's like you make those relationships. And it's not necessarily like, oh, we're going to make friends with these guys so we can get business out of it. Or, you know, it's just like you make those connections. And then Trav says it comes back to the community where like, oh, I need help with this coding. Like my function's not working, for example. Or how simple thing, like how do I put a button on the website with this builder? You know, someone in the community has experience with that. So I think that was the main factor where it was like WordPress is big. The community is really awesome. That was a selling point of like, you know, none of these guys are like, oh, I'm from this company, whatever, don't talk to me kind of thing. You could go to like anyone at WordCamp and be like, hi, I'm Andrew. You know, I see you work with the Woo team, or you work for like Paid Memberships Pro, you know, stop them in the hallway and just like chat for 5 minutes, be like, hey, I'm using your software, I need some help. They'll help you like without a doubt. So definitely the content and just meeting people in the industry was like phenomenal. Let's get that word out right. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that for me was also something that stuck with me. I remember vividly that, and at Travis, I'm very similar to you in the fact that when I do something, I need somebody to go with. So I'm a fairly outspoken person and I'll talk to anybody, but when I'm doing something new, I need to know there's somebody with me that I can at least talk to when I'm not in a talk or whatever. So part of my, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background now. When I'd known about WordCamp for a number of years, and before 2015, after I got into WordPress, I was in a position where I was, let's say, self-employed, but I was also working in a sort of retainer, part-time contract basis for a company. And leading up to 2015, every year when I saw WordCamp on my radar, I didn't feel comfortable enough at that point to approach the company and say, I want to go and do this 2-day thing, because they weren't doing any WordPress work. And I wouldn't say they were anti-WordPress, but they weren't necessarily very pro-WordPress. And it kind of gets back to that statement you made earlier, Travis, about, you know, WordPress is not a proper website. That was kind of the mentality. And then in 2015, there was a definite switch into the fact that when, let's call them brochure type websites, you know, 4 or 5 pages, contact us, about, home, you know, team, whatever. And the decision was made, well, it makes sense to build these sites on WordPress. And the theme that we were using was Divi. And it was great because it didn't have to be a developer who did it. It could be someone in the marketing team who did it. And that meant that the developers could focus on the more, let's say, technologically challenging projects, like dealing with APIs from third parties into CRMs and blah, blah, blah. So it was a win-win for the company. And because I had WordPress experience, I became the go-to guy when questions about WordPress came about. And I literally used the power of Google to make myself look cleverer than what I was. But it paid off, because when it got to that point of WordCamp Cape Town 2015 coming up, as I said earlier, I then felt comfortable enough to go to the CEO of the company, use the little form letter on the website to say, right, this is coming up. And actually, I remember vividly, I sent it to the CEO of the company. It was the CEO of the company and the CTO, to say, we're doing more WordPress work. I think it would be valuable for us as a company to be represented at WordCamp Cape Town, to get to know the community, so the community knows who we are, we know who they are. I would like to go, and I would like to take anybody who else is interested in going with me. Would you be willing to pay? And I was very lucky in that I got back a positive yes. And I think the cost definitely helped, because it wasn't that expensive. So then I contacted the front-end developer in the company and the person in charge of marketing, and they were all working in WordPress at the time, and they were super keen. So I had this awesome little 3-person team, and off we went to WordCamp. And I remember the first time I heard the name Pippin Williamson. So Pippin was doing a talk in the developer track. And I, being a developer, I was sitting in the developer track. And I met somebody there at WordCamp who I knew through my jiu-jitsu history. And I also knew that he was a WordPress developer. He was working at Hetson at the time. And because the two people that I took with me were more front-end users, they were in the user track. So my whole plan of taking people with me that would sit and chat to me while I was there failed. So there I am by myself in the developer track. And then fortunately, Neil came along, and he and I sat together for 1 or 2 talks. And then I said to him, like I always do to anybody after one of the breaks, I said, what talk are you going to next? Because wherever he was going, I was going to tag along, because I needed somebody to talk to. And he said, no, I'm coming back here because Pippin's talking next. And I kind of went, who's this Pippin? You know him by name. Who is he? Why do you know him by name? And so then I asked him, well, who is this Pippin? And then he told me, you know, he's this well-respected plugin developer, and, you know, he's sort of the plugin developer guy in the WordPress community. And so the fact that he's here is kind of exciting. So you're going to have a bunch of developers who are going to be sitting in on this. And I thought, okay, cool. Well, now I want to hear what this guy has to say. And he spoke about a commitment to backwards compatibility, and it was a great talk, and then blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, I was in a position where I was listening to the group track, and ironically, Pippin and Jenny Wong were sitting right behind me. Now, they obviously knew each other, so they'd had a chat, and they were sitting behind me next to each other. And it was Joel Bronkowski's talk about sort of, I think it was a WordPress, the history of WordPress. And I remember at the time I had a question about something. I can't remember exactly. Oh, it was to do with uptakes of WordPress at a certain point. And I asked my question, and Joel didn't have the knowledge. And as the track finished, I get this tap on my shoulder. So I'm like, I turn around, and it's Pippin. And he goes, oh, regarding your question, it was probably this, this, and this. I'm like, this guy who I know do not know from a bar of soap, but who's so well respected in the community, just came up to me and gave me an answer because he felt like it. You know, and I thought, wow, that is amazing. You know, my experience of most developers was not that, was the opposite of that. And then I ended up in a chat with Jenny about, after her talk about contributing, I ended up in a chat with her. After Drew's talk, I ended up with a chat with him. And as you say, every person, you can literally just walk up to them and start chatting and asking a question, and they'll be open and friendly and answer a question. I remember Bruce. Bruce Lannis doing a talk about the age of the digital superhero, and he made a joke about getting hugs. And I walked up to him afterwards and I gave him a hug, and it was just cool. You know, it wasn't a weird thing. People didn't feel like they were cut off from people there. They were open and community orientated. And for me, that was this sort of opening of my eyes as to how an open source community should be. And I think a lot of people don't understand that well enough when they look into WordPress. The underlying technology, there might be some issues. You know, there are some concerns and there are some problems, and there have been security issues. But the benefits of having that community, Travis, as you were talking about, having that Slack channel. You know, if I could say to anybody who finishes WordCamp, go and join Slack tomorrow, because it will extend that experience. You know, you will connect with people that you've met there. You will be able to ask them questions. My experience was that I'm sort of coming into WordPress. I'm this new developer, so I'm going to ask dumb questions. So I didn't feel comfortable answering questions in a public Slack. I literally started pinging Hugh, because he and I had started chatting about the meetups, and I would ping him and ask him developer questions. And he'd be like, "Yeah, cool. Yeah, answer them, blah, blah, blah." And he eventually got me to the point of understanding that I should just be asking these questions in the public channel, because nobody would judge me for not having that knowledge. Nobody would pass a snarky comment for not having that knowledge. My experience up until that point, not on the global experience, but mostly the experience was almost a snarky comment first, and then we'll try and help you. Whereas in the WordPress community, there is pretty much no snarky comment. There is no, "Oh, you should know this," or RTFM or whatever. People will generally give you some info and then send you the link to go and read the manual, but at least you have something to work on, you know? And I think that is the power of the community, and that is the power of the WordCamp. It gets you into that frame of mind on a grander scale. You guys, I think, are fortunate that you had meetup experience before WordCamp. I had zero community experience. So for me, it was just like this explosion of my brain into how the community works. So, it's awesome to hear it from you as well, as somebody who's experienced it and you went through that. Andrew, I want to start with you now on the next question. So now that we're talking about experiences, if you think about that first WordCamp Cape Town, what one experience stands out in your brain?
Oh man, there was so much happening. Well, like I mentioned earlier as well, that was like the turning point where we decided to like go with WordPress for like a career. Yeah, I mean, the openness was like amazing. And then what like turned me, like convinced me to follow WordPress, like almost like, "Hey, I'm just going to do WordPress now," is I think it was Mark Perel. He did a talk on Layers, the theme. And he was like, "Oh yeah, if you want to like customize the theme, you just add like this line of code," like for their builder or whatever. And I was like, "That is so awesome and easy." Like I actually like understood it quite easily. And I was like, now with that, if it's so easy, then I can extend, you know, because at that time I was also like sitting in developer tracks where it was like way over my head. Like the Drew James, he did building a crazy query or whatever it was called. And I was like, "Okay, I'll go to it," because the other track was like a little bit too easy. And I remember sitting there and I was like, "Okay, so I know a little bit of like the query, like the class, whatever, but like it's a little bit over my head." And then from there, I think that was like the second day or whatever. And I was like, "Now I'm going to like work at my WordPress development, and like the next WordCamp I'm going to do, I'm going to release a plugin. I'm going to understand the stuff." Like, you know, so I set a goal already, and I actually did. I released a plugin before the next WordCamp. So it was definitely a turning point of where I was in that space. Like I mentioned, I was going either like maybe I should focus Laravel or something like that. And then I actually just realized how easy it is to expand on WordPress, you know, like with all the hooks and filters. Like at the stage, I was like, "Yeah, I kind of understand, you know, kind of." And then like just seeing that example from Mark Perel was like, "Okay, it's actually not that difficult." I think I had a bit of a block, like, "Okay, WordPress, like I can do it, but I'm going to struggle like to expand on it." And then just realizing how easy it is and like how the community is there to help you was like, no brainer. Let's do WordPress from here on out.
Nice, nice. And Travis, yourself, was there any one experience that you can kind of pinpoint was your highlight of that first WordCamp?
I really remember the the panel talk. I think it was Pippin. I forget all the guys that were on the talk, but it was a lot of the e-commerce guys that were giving the talk. And that was the thing that made WordPress like really like, this is a big deal. This isn't just that developer guy who reached out to me on Facebook. He was wrong. He told me WordPress is a fake website builder thingy. Like that moment just earth shatteringly, you know, destroyed any preconceived ideas I had or that was placed in my mind about WordPress. Like, you know, I saw people who were extremely successful building awesome things, awesome plugins. And that talk really resonated with me. So that was definitely, apart from all the community and dealing with people and, you know, making new friends and stuff, that was the turning point, I think, for me as well.
Cool. I remember that panel. I vividly remember that panel. It was Pippin, Justin from WP Ecommerce was there, Mark from WooCommerce was there, and Roslyn from Payfast. And yes, I remember that as well, because what I remember about it was that I had had some e-commerce experience with the system that I was working on at the company that I was working on. And I remember how hard e-commerce was and dealing with, you know, credit cards and payment gateways and all that kind of thing. And there we had people who not only were what I really thought was amazing of it was you had three people representing three different options of managing an e-commerce store. You know, so you had two e-commerce stores, WooCommerce and WP Commerce, and then you had Pippin focusing specifically on his Easy Digital Download, so specifically for download, for file downloads and that kind of thing. And then you had Roslyn from Payfast, so you had the payment gateway side of things. And what I remember, and the question that I asked them all was, you know, in your mind, what is the reason for your success? And what I really appreciated was that they all had one specific sort of focus. You know, for Pippin, it was specifically focusing on digital downloads. You know, for Payfast, it was specifically focused on payment gateways and all that kind of thing. And I remember going, you know, all this time and effort and stress that I have experienced developing e-commerce sites, different payment gateways, yada, 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 I could have just installed a plugin for that payment gateway. You know, and that would have made that easier. I'm not like other developers in that when I discover something that solves a problem, I don't tend to care too much about the underlying functionality or how it connects to the database. If it works, I use it. Now, I know a lot of guys, I've had two people in my past asked me, I remember once I was interviewing for a job, and it was when I was working in frameworks. I was using CakePHP at the time. And the lead developer of the company said to me, which ORM do you prefer? You know, which object relationship model dealing with data do you prefer? And I said to him, I can't answer that question. I use whatever the framework that I've decided to use uses, you know, because that didn't matter to me, you know. The framework that I've chosen because it's of its ease of use. How it does what it does with the database is something that I don't care about. You know, if I find that it's slow, I won't go and replace the ORM. I'll find a better framework. I'll find a better platform. And I don't know if that makes me a bad developer. It probably makes me a bad engineer. But I don't care about the underlying. I don't care how my car runs. As long as I put the key in and I start it and it drives, I'm happy, you know? And I find that because WordPress takes care of a lot of that for you, it just means your focus, your time can be spent on the 20% that WordPress and the plugins don't do, or speeding up things or optimizing things. I just find that your time is better spent on important things, marketing or whatever the case may be. And maybe there are pros and cons to that, but I just think that because everybody is comfortable enough with what we do, and it's sort of this open source community of sort of keeping everybody in check. And as you were talking about earlier, Travis, about being open about how things are done. I mean, we talk about Pippin talking about how their company, what the money they make and what changes they make and how those changes affect, and, you know, switching from using the post table to using custom tables. And we all learn from each other in that respect, as opposed to this being very sort of closed off way of doing things. I think that's huge. So I've kind of gone off on a tangent now. Let me try and drag us back to WordCamp. So Travis, I want to stick with you for a little bit, and I want to talk about, I kind of want to wrap this up now. So I'm going to ask you both sort of a similar question, but if you had to look at your journey through WordPress, let's say over the past 5 years, how much would you say WordCamp affected where you are today?
I would say that WordCamp specifically is like responsible for where I am today. I would give all credit to WordCamp, because even at the point right before and right after my business sort of taking a turn, we started losing a bit of client, not losing clients, but like some of my clients ended up going bankrupt and stuff. And if it wasn't for WordCamp, I would have probably, and that similar event started happening, I would have probably receded and gone to do something maybe more graphical, or maybe even go back into construction. And so I would say that WordPress is completely responsible, because through that all, eventually we made contact with Paid Memberships Pro. We made contact with Jason, and I just wouldn't be where I am now, sitting in Port Elizabeth, 1,000 kilometers away from home, working, speaking to you. As soon as we turn off this podcast, I'm going back to work, going back to my job, which is technically based in America, or on, well, actually worldwide. And that's awesome. And I, you know, attribute that all to WordCamp. And one thing I actually wanted to add on, I gave you a very good like textbook answer about WordCamp, right? But I was just thinking about it a little bit more. What was the big sort of impact thing for me? And if I think about it, the honest truth is WordCamp was my ticket in 2015 to experience a life-changing adventure. So everything from the actual camp beginning to end, the people I met, the talks I went to the renting a car with my brother, going up Table Mountain, having, what's that ice cream shop's name? We went to an ice cream shop at the middle of the night. We had like salted caramel ice cream, you know, that was like too salty. We went on a boat later. Like that, everything that this little WordCamp, or what we thought like this little WordCamp would do, it ended up just having like this really awesome experience overall. So basically what I'm trying to say, I had an extremely positive trip, if you will. I have got a good memory of a trip, and that's also what I think Andrew would have experienced. And if it wasn't for WordPress or the WordCamp, I wouldn't have had that positive experience. And I think, you know, sometimes we get very influenced, like if we went or if we have a positive experience, something resonates with us, we feel a slight loyalty to that, and therefore we kind of like go for it, or, you know, we make decisions based on that. And I have to say, like, as I've gone to more little WordPress things, or, you know, I've gotten a job, a WordPress related job, it all has been these little positive experiences that, you know, I just wouldn't believe I would have experienced if it wasn't for WordCamp and for WordPress. And so, yeah, that's, I think, why WordCamp specifically is very special to me.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Andrew, I'm not going to ask you the same question, because I have a funny feeling it's going to be very similar. So what I want to ask you is, as the person who Travis has sort of highlighted as the quieter, stay at home, not go on the adventure type of person, how would you say that, or And I assume the answer is yes. So I'm going to just assume yes and carry on. But how would you say that going to WordCamp and being involved in the community has changed you as a person and or as a developer?
Okay, good question. We often mention when we add WordCamp, like, hey, most of these people are introverts. You know, most developers, they aren't that outgoing and stuff. So you don't have to worry if you're a bit introverted, you know, like people aren't going to rush to you and like bug you and you won't be overwhelmed, so per se. It's opened my eyes to be more open. Like Trav mentioned before, it's like, you know, you used to, a company's doing it like this. How are they doing it? You don't know. Where like a plugin, you could be like, how are they doing it? Oh, I'm just going to check their source code quickly and copy it. It's, you know, it's open source. You can copy it and just be like, hey, I got this code from here. A lot of the times, I mean, that's what I do when I'm building side projects or like seeing how something is done. It's as a developer, it's changed me to be in that mindset where like I've released plugins to the WordPress repo. Someone can fork it. They can sell it. You know, I can't do anything about it. Not that I'd hold a grudge, but I'd be like, you know, yeah, it's open source software. Copy my code. I have no problem. Like, say I build the most amazing like plugin and someone forks it and sells it. Like, it does suck. It's like, oh, you're using my code kind of thing, but it's GPL. And it's like, okay, well, you can do that. It's not, you know, it doesn't like, it wouldn't affect me. Like, whereas if I had to have a closed plugin, so per se, you know, it would be like, oh, why is this guy doing this? Or like, look at the competition, where like you could reach out to the competition and be like, how are you doing this? And they'll probably give you the answer. I know sometimes we reach out to like our competition and be like, how are you doing this? And they're like, yeah, we're doing it like this. Or like, you know, like you said, Pippin, he will be like, hey, we're moving away from custom tables because of this. And it's all open. It's like, hey, we did this, the performance improved, we did this change, we're making like $30,000 more per like whatever, per quarter or whatever. So it's really opened my eyes to be like just totally open with the user. It's not like, oh, I know how to do this, I'm not going to share my knowledge kind of thing. And as a person, it's also pushed me. As Trevor said, I'm the more quiet guy, and I've done like 2 talks now at WordCamp Joburg, both years running. We did a panel and I did a solo talk at the time. So it's pushed me as a person just to get a little bit more out there and used to, you know, going up to someone that you've never met and being like, hey, you know, how are you doing? How did you get into WordPress? What are you currently doing for WordPress? So it's definitely a positive impact. You know, or like for me, I would say always like push yourself out of your comfort zone, even in developing or like what would you call it? Like a community / social gathering kind of thing. Like, just push yourself out there. I mean, we mentioned that the community is so amazing. I mean, we met in the bathroom for the first time, and it wasn't that awkward as it sounds. So, you know, it's like people are very relaxed and chilled in the WordPress community. So, you know, if you're a bit introverted, don't feel like too overwhelmed, I would say. So yeah, definitely it changes for the better.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I think that because WordPress empowers freelancers, empowers self-employed people to either get remote jobs that suit their lifestyles or work for themselves or whatever the case is, it's ironic. You end up in the situation where the way I feel about myself right now in terms of my work is I have the biggest amount of colleagues I have ever had. I have colleagues around the country, around the world that I can chat to, that I can bounce off. You know, Andrew and I will often rubber duck each other. If you don't know what that means, it's not weird. Look it up. You know, I can bug Travis for some design related question. If they're not around, somebody will be in the public Slack. If there's nobody there locally, somebody will be online in the States or in Europe or wherever. I have more colleagues that are friends at the same time than I've ever done. So because I'm involved in the community, I have more connections than I ever have had. And that is so powerful. And One thing that I've learned, and this is getting back to what you were saying, Andrew, about, you know, this concept of open source, is suddenly you're in this position where your code is no longer your value. Your value is what you do with the code. You know, so whether it's your code or some code that you got from somewhere else or some design that you got from somewhere else or some HTML or CSS or whatever, that is not the value. The value is the knowledge and the experience you now have to apply that. And I think that is huge, because for the longest time, when people hire web developers, designers, whatever the case may be, it's this concept of, well, you can do something that nobody else can do, so that's why I'm going to pay you money. And the problem with that is that web development at its core is open source. Anybody can right click on an HTML page and view the HTML code. Anybody can go online and read up about PHP and learn how PHP works and Python and all these open source technologies. And for the longest time, because software development kind of always came from this sort of Apple, Microsoft, closed source way of looking at things, when the web happened, the developers, the programmers applied the similar methodologies as they were used to, and they were kind of very closed off. And I think the important thing that WordPress has done is it's showed the public, or at least it's to a degree it's shown, and hopefully it will show more, the public, the benefits of open sourcing your code, to not only the developer to be better and do things better and learn from everybody else, but for the user to give them more understanding of what they're doing, be able to implement certain things themselves, and then hire developers to do the things that can't be done. And I think that's a big shift that some of these sort of older school, let's say, people are struggling to get around, because they go, well, and I went through this. You know, so I go, well, WordPress is there. There are all these plugins. So why does somebody need a developer? Why does somebody need a coder? I still to this day do work writing code, because while they do 80% of the things, there's still that 20%, you know, and because WordPress is growing, the pie just keeps getting bigger. It's still 20% of a pie, but it's a much bigger pie, you know, than trying to get 80% of a much smaller pie. And I think that's the big thing that a lot of people need to, or at least a lot of people have learned and are learning. And it just, you know, it makes everybody better at the same time. And that for me is huge. Everybody is empowered, clients, users, developers. We can all learn from each other. We can all improve. We can all learn concepts. I mean, I've learned more in the last 2 years about various different things just because of the interactions that I'm having than I had the last 10 years of my development career. Because when you work for a small company or when you work for yourself, you have, as Travis was saying, that small community to deal with. Now suddenly it's multiplied exponentially. And as you say, it's that first WordCamp or that first meetup that you go to, you know, that gets you involved in that. I can't say it enough times that, and you guys have said the same thing, that WordCamp changed my life. It opened my eyes to this community, this concept of being open. I didn't really understand open source as a concept until I went to WordCamp. Before then, open source was just free code, free something I could download and I could use. And it was free. That's all it was to me. You know, PHP was open source. So I could use open source. I could install PHP on a server and I can use it and there's no charge. That's all it was. And then at WordCamp, I realized it was more than that. It was more than just this free thing, you know, this concept and the GPL and copyleft and all of that. And I really dug into it. And that's why it was so easy for me to talk about it at WordCamp Johannesburg the following year, because I'd spent that whole year just kind of opening up my mind to the concepts. So again, I'm going off on tangents. You guys need to drag me back when I do that. Cool. So I'm going to make this the last question, and I'm going to ask you guys exactly the same question, and I'll probably get similar answers, so that's fine. And I'm going to start with Andrew this time, just because I ended with him the last time. And this is specifically about your current position at Paid Memberships Pro. So you guys are working together. From what I recall, it was a case of applying through Twitter, you know, response on Twitter, getting involved that way. You guys are now working as sort of pretty much, you know, the team, if you will. I mean, I know you guys have got other team members around the world. And this kind of goes outside of the discussion about WordCamp, but I think it kind of applies as well. Being part of a team like this, you probably, my assumption at least, is that you have a very different type of experience than what you did working for yourself. So you're doing maybe two or three things at the same time. You know, you're maybe not just doing development, you're doing support as well. You're doing bug fixes as well. Andrew, Travis, you're doing design, you're doing marketing, you're doing support, whatever the case may be. How do you find that difference now? Now that you've reached this point, if you look at what you're doing now and what you were doing back then, how does your involvement in the community make that different, if you will? Andrew.
Okay. you know, we're lucky enough to work with an awesome team that is remote. I mean, they've given us the freedom where it's like, you know, okay, obviously we have like set things that we have to do, but I could be like, hey, I've got an idea, I'm going to run with it. So we got that freedom where it's kind of like we're still working for ourselves in a sense, you know, as long as the set work gets done. It hasn't changed too much for me, because before I got this position, I was still working for other plugins, like doing supports and that. It was just on a retainer base, like 2 hours a year, I do like support for this company, 2 hours a year, I do support or development for that like plugin company. So now, instead of having like everything all over the place, I'm focusing one plugin, so I can like put all my energy into that. So that hasn't changed too much, so per se. And what was the second part of the question? How does it affect the community?
Well, how do you find your involvement in the community affects your what you do sort of in your roles, in your different positions?
Yeah, I'd say I'm more involved with the community now. Again, it comes back to the WordCamp where like you kind of tune your mindset into, you know, I'm earning a salary working on a WordPress product that is available because of WordPress. Again, like the previous podcast that we did that wasn't recorded was, I mentioned that, you know, I feel like I should give back to the community. And again, that's still coming back to the WordCamp 2015. Like before that, it was like, as you mentioned, oh, WordPress is free. I can just download it. I actually didn't realize like, oh, you know, the people that are building WordPress.org are like volunteers. Like sure, maybe a company is paying for them, but it's not WordPress that is paying for them to do the work. So it's tuned my mind to like, hey, let's give back. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm creating this whole new feature for WordPress. I mean, I'm a moderator for English South Africa, and like we do the translation days. So it's like, hey, I'm going to translate a bit of whatever someone's plugin or WordPress.org itself into like English South Africa. Or I'll answer support threads, you know, maybe like 10, 15 minutes, I've got a gap. I'll be like, hey, I'll jump on the forums. I'll be like, hey, you know, I'll answer the core WordPress supports. So it's definitely getting used to that community like mindset. Paid Memberships Pro and Jason and like the team members, they all on that mindset as well. Like we also post like, hey, the company is making so much money. Like I know Jason does a blog post like, hey, this year we're doing well, we're up by 30%, here's our revenue, what does that mean? So it's like very open, and it kind of like funnels down into the team members as well, where it will be like, hey, I will, you know, I'll go to WordCamp, someone asks me, how do I do this? I'll be like, hey, here's code from Paid Memberships Pro, just, you know, copy it, tweak it, use it. So it's opened my like thinking, or that I'm kind of community first in a sense. Like if, say you ask me a question, hey, my functions, you asked me a question the other day, well, in general, not specifically me, like something to do with cookies. And I was like, oh, okay, I built something similar. Here's like a reference, use it, you know, copy it if you want. So it's very open in that sense. So shifting from like a run your own business to keeping your secret sauce a secret, or like the KFC recipe, for example, you know, it's a secret recipe, to going like, you know what, I'm not worried, you know, if it benefits you, here's the code, this is how I would do it, here's my input, you know, go for it. So it's very changed my mindset. It's changed my mindset quite a bit, like from then and now, if I can put it that way.
Awesome. Travis, similar question to you.
Similar question. I think similar answer as well. It's for me personally, it's been great to rub shoulders with Kim and Jason from PM Pro. They're brilliant in what they do. They're really clever people and they are extremely open source minded. And that is something that I don't know if it comes naturally to anyone. I think it's sort of something you have to learn and you have to adopt and you have to decide, I'm going to have this mindset and I'm going to not be selfish and I'm going to actually give of myself to, you know, to help someone else selflessly. And I think that working in specifically in Paid Membership Pro and the team that I am in, I feel compelled to give more to the community and not obliged. I feel much more sort of like I want to contribute. And it's also comes, so working as a graphic designer first, you can very easily come into this preconceived idea of like, I've got nothing to contribute, which is, that's like a whole nother podcast in itself, but that's completely untrue. And the whole point is if I'm working with WordPress and I know something about design, I know something about copywriting, I know something about developing, you know, you have something to contribute. And that's very important to remember. And it's really important if you can just kind of like break down these thought castles from the get-go of like, I have got nothing of value to say. It's complete rubbish. You have something to contribute that is valuable to someone. Even if it's as simple as knowing how to install a theme. Someone at my, at like, for example, myself, five, 6 years ago, I would have needed that level one WordPress expert to just tell me, download the theme, upload it here, for example. So even if it's something as simple as that, you can contribute. And yeah, so for me, working on the team that I'm working on now, it's just growing me exponentially. Because the team is very much that open source, give of yourself mindset, there is no dumb question. You ask stuff, you get answers, people are willing to help. And yeah, so I'm really fortunate and that just compels me to give back to the community as much as I can, when I can, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think that I sometimes forget, and I'm reminded on a daily basis that because WordPress itself was founded on open source principles, you know, if you look at Matt's original post all those years ago, you know, it was a concept of, well, Cafe Log B2, whatever it was called, was released with the GPL. So that means he can take that code and he can fork it and he can build his own thing. But he kept those core principles and he kept that core idea of being open and you know, sharing code and we're all learning from it. Because it was founded on that, I think that as businesses develop around WordPress and have developed around WordPress, they've all been developed by people who think the same way. I have not spoken to an employee of a WordPress-focused company who doesn't think like this, and that's what makes it so amazing. And Andrew, as you were saying, you know, you can contact your competitors. I mean, think about that as a concept. Contacting your competitors and asking them how they do something, and them being open enough to give you that information. I mean, that does not exist in the corporate world. And you know, if you look at the automatic creed, one of the things I resonate with the automatic creed so much that I've even copied parts of it and used it for my personal website and my jiu-jitsu club. But that concept of open source being the most important concept of our generation, you know, if we can apply open source principles to our daily lives, you know, just that concept of being open and sharing knowledge. I mean, again, think of the idea of a company just going, well, here's our revenue. Here's how much we've grown. Here's why we did this. You know, Pippin Williamson saying we have increased our support costs or our plugin cost because it doesn't make sense for us to keep the price where it is because of the customers that we get that end up, you know, wasting a lot of time with, I don't want to say silly questions, but questions that don't need to be dealt with. You know, that's a mind shift, you know, because at the end of the day, you can go and get that stuff for free anyway. If you really want to, you know, it's all open source. I mean, you can literally go, I know this, you can go onto GitHub, you can find Pippin's GitHub profile, and every single plugin that they have, you can download and install. If you want support, you need a license. If you're clever enough to figure it out yourself, then go for it. You know, they don't necessarily want you. They want the people who need the support, who see the value in the support, because they need that level of support, and they're happy to work with those people. And I think, what an amazing idea, you know, that I can, as a developer, I can go and download EDD, and I can go and download one of the add-ons, and I can install it on the client side. And if it works, great, they don't care. If it doesn't, then I pay for support. What an amazing concept, you know? And they, as a company, are actually doing better by doing that, you know? By saying to people, look, go ahead. If you have enough knowledge, go ahead. And we'll focus on the people who need the support. I think that's just such a, you know, a mind-blowing concept. So yeah. Cool. I think let's wrap that up there. You know, I said this in the last time. I'll say it again. I can chat to you guys any day. So maybe we'll have that other chat that you mentioned now, Travis. Maybe we'll have that down the line. You'll be happy to know, and I will say this publicly, you'll be happy to know you will be getting in the podcast before then. So you're good there. But thank you very much. Thank you very much again for joining me. Travis, before we wrap up, is there anything you would just like to say to leave with our listeners? Any concepts or sort of something you'd like to say just to wrap up?
Yeah, I would like to say that you shouldn't settle for average, and that you have to continually stay in a state of learning. And so if you want to become a developer, dive right into it as soon as you can and build something. If you want to be a designer, just draw on a piece of paper something, no matter how ugly it is. Just get in there as soon as you can and forget about like trying to, you know, read your way to understand like a plugin before you start building it. Just kind of like dive right in, build something, and just grow from there, because otherwise you can spend years and years trying to figure it out and never actually get anything done. So stay in a state of learning and just keep building.
Absolutely. Andrew, anything you want to add?
Oh man, how do I top that? if you've never been to, if you're in the WordPress space, like how we were, and we were like, we're just like trotting along kind of thing, and you've never been to like a meetup, never mind a WordCamp, just go to a meetup, just show face, be like, hey, you can see if it's for you or not. Definitely go to a WordCamp. We'll be there this year, both Joburg and Cape Town for sure. Calendars, like I'm already itching to see when it is. Just get involved with the community. Just see for yourself.
Absolutely. I think from both of you, no truer words could have been spoken. So that's a great way to end this. So guys, thank you very much. I'm going to link up your Twitter and your websites in the show notes. I'm not going to ask you for them now. So if you want to follow Travis and Andrew online, get hold of them via their Twitter profiles in the show notes for this podcast. Again, guys, thank you very much for your time. It always is lovely to chat to you. I look forward to seeing you guys again at WordCamp. This year, I'm hoping to make Joburg. We're not doing any kitchen projects, so I should be good to go this year. And so I know at least see chaps in person twice this year. And I look forward to seeing what you guys do with PM Pro. It's exciting. It's exciting for me as a South African to see other South African developers working with these international companies and doing great things. So all the best of luck to both of you. And thank you again very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, John. It was awesome.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cool. Cheers.
Bye.